thinking it out. I may prescribe a strong painkiller, but not an anti-inflammatory drug, since there is no inflammation. The irony of the usual experience with one of these attacks is that most patients would be better off if they consulted no one. This is unwise, however, because every once in a while there may be something physiologically important going on, and so one must be examined by a physician. Assuming nothing truly serious like a tumor is present, the usual diagnosis is some spinal structural abnormality. A scary diagnosis, such as degenerative disc disease, herniated disc, arthritis, spinal stenosis, or facet syndrome, plus the dire warnings of what will happen if the patient doesn't take sufficient bed rest, and cautioning about never again jogging or using a vacuum cleaner or bowling or playing tennis, this is the perfect combination for multiplied and persistent pain. But the human spirit is more or less indomitable, and eventually the symptoms fade, leaving someone who is essentially free of pain but permanently scarred, not physically, but emotionally, except for the very brave few. Most people who have had such an attack never again engage in vigorous physical activity with an easy mind. They have been sensitized by the experience and all that it is supposed to imply, and they see themselves, to a greater or lesser degree, as permanently altered. They fear another attack, and eventually it comes. It may be 6 months or a year later, but the prophecy is fulfilled, and the dreaded event occurs again. As before, the person usually attributes the attack to some physical incident. This time, there may be leg pain as well as back pain, and now there is talk of surgery should a herniated disc be found. This pattern of recurrence of acute attacks is very common. As time goes on, the attacks tend to come more frequently, to be more severe, and to last longer, and with each new attack the fear increases and there is an increased tendency to limit physical activities. Some patients become virtually disabled. In my view, physical restrictions and the fear of physical activity represent the worst aspect of these pain syndromes. They are ever present, though the pain may come and go. They have a profound effect on all aspects of life, work, family, leisure time. Indeed, I have known patients with TMS who were much more disabled in terms of their daily lives than patients who are paralyzed in both legs. Many of the latter go to work every day on their own, raise families, and in every way lead normal lives, except that they are in wheelchairs. The severe TMS patient may have to stay in bed most of the day because of the pain. Eventually, most people who have recurrent attacks will develop a chronic pattern. They will begin to have some pain all the time, usually mild, but exacerbated by a variety of activities or postures to which they have become conditioned. The kinds of statements I hear are, I can lie on my left side, but not on my right. I must always have a pillow between my knees and bed. I never go anywhere without my seat cushion. My neck collar is absolutely essential if I am to remain free of pain. If I sit for more than 5 minutes, I get severe pain. The only chair I can sit on has to have a hard seat and a straight back, and on and on and on. To some, the pain becomes the primary focus of their lives. It is not uncommon to hear people say that the pain is the first thing they are aware of when they awaken in the morning, and the last thing they think about when they go to sleep. They become obsessed with it. There is great variety in the manifestations of TMS. There are those who have a little pain all the time with varying degrees of physical restriction. Others have occasional acute attacks, but live essentially normal lives in between with little or no restriction. What I have been describing are the most common manifestations of TMS and the most dramatic. those in the low back and legs. However, a severe episode involving the neck, shoulders, and arms can be very dramatic too, and just as physically restricting. To summarize, TMS may involve postural muscles, nerves that are in and around those muscles, and a variety of tendons and ligaments in the arms and legs. In the involved areas, the patient has pain, possibly feelings of pins and needles, and/or weakness. There are many different patterns and locations of symptoms, and considerable variation in severity, ranging from mild annoyance to almost total disability. Recurrent attacks, fear of recurrence and physical activity, and failure to find successful treatment characterize TMS. The symptoms of pain, numbness, tingling, and weakness are intended by the brain to suggest that something is physically wrong. To most people, practitioners and laymen alike, physically wrong means injury, weakness, incompetence, and degeneration, singly or in combination. To further this view of the symptoms, the pain often begins in association with some physical activity. The more vigorous, the better. The patient can't help but conclude that something has been injured or displaced. "My back went out," is a common description of the event. Also very important to advancing the idea of structural incompetence is the powerful tendency for people to become programmed to fear a variety of simple, common things like sitting, standing in one place, bending and lifting. The net effect of symptoms, fears, and alterations in lifestyle and daily activities is to produce someone whose attention is strongly focused on the body. That is the purpose of the syndrome, to create a distraction so that undesirable emotions can be avoided and kept down. It seems a heavy price to pay, but then the inner workings of the mind are not really known, and we can only suspect its deep aversion to frightening, painful feelings. Neck, shoulder, and back pain syndromes are not mechanical problems to be cured by mechanical means. They have to do with people's feelings, their personalities, and the vicissitudes of life. If this is true, the conventional management of these pain syndromes is a medical travesty. Traditional medical diagnoses focus on the machine.